We're talking about Bible windows. We look through the Bible at different times the word window is mentioned. And we've learned as we've looked in windows and out windows and through windows. Today we're going to look through another window. We're going to look at temptation through the window of Solomon. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. We'll read verses 6 and 7. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And if you would just keep your Bibles open this morning, we'll be reading some other verses in that passage. A certain fellow parked his car in a no parking zone and left a note on the windshield which read, I've circled the block for 20 minutes. I'm late for an appointment, and if I don't park here, I'll lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses. When he came back, he found a parking ticket on his windshield and a note that read, I've circled the block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I will lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. It has been said that opportunity knocks only once, but have you ever noticed that temptation bangs on the door constantly? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that temptation is common to man. The word common speaks of that which is human. To be tempted is only human, and to be human is to be tempted. It's not a question of when you will be tempted or if you will be tempted, but when. Northwestern University once ran some experiments on words that are hard to hear. They discovered that one of the hardest words to hear is the word no. Did you hear that? Okay. I've also discovered that the word no is also one of the hardest words to say. When we are faced with temptation, it is much easier to say yes than it is to say no. Oscar Wilde, the British writer, once said, I can resist anything but temptation. I'm afraid that he summed up the experience of many. Instead of conquering temptation, many are conquered. Instead of overcoming, many are overcome by the temptations that they face. In this fifth Bible window, we look out the window of Solomon. There was an evening that Solomon was looking out his window, and he observed a group of young men. Again, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Verse 8 says, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Solomon continues his description of her by saying, in verse 11, she is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him. She said to him, verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. And then verse 21, sad with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Let's look out the window of Solomon and learn some lessons that will help us to understand and respond to temptation in a proper way. First of all, let's recognize the potential of yielding to temptation. The potential of yielding to temptation. There are some that might say, I'm not vulnerable to temptation. And some who would boast that they would never do such a thing. But notice carefully verse 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. John Wycliffe said, let no man think himself to be holy because he is not tempted. For the holiest and the highest in life have the most temptations. How much higher the hill is, so much the wind greater there. So how much higher life is, so much the stronger is temptation of the enemy. You know, it can be at this church and barely feel the wind. You go up to the new church, it's always windy up there. There's always more wind on top of the hill. The higher you climb in your Christian life, the greater the temptations become. Satan will do anything to get you to fall. No one is immune to temptation, and no one is beyond yielding to temptation. There are a couple of reasons why the young man Solomon observed became a victim of temptation. First, there was the situation that should have been avoided. The simple truth of the matter is that this young man was in a place where he should not have been, around a person he should not have been around. There was both a person and a place he should have avoided. A little boy by the name of Alexander was trying to save all of his pennies so that he could buy a baseball bat. But as with all little boys, saving money is not always that easy. His mother overheard him saying his prayers one night. He said, "Oh Lord, please help me save my money for a baseball bat. And oh God, please don't let the ice cream truck come down the street." There are some situations that are very tempting. Let me put it this way. If the ice cream truck comes down the street, our temptation is certain. These situations must be avoided at all costs. We read in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. It appears that he spent several hours in this area. One writer said, "On the street he went backwards and forwards, yet so that he kept near to her corner." Just being there opened himself up to temptation, but to hang around there for hours was an invitation that temptation would be too strong for him. Then notice, not only the situation that should have been avoided, but the seduction that could have been avoided. Verse 21, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. By her dress, her words, and actions, she caused the young man to yield. However, if he had not been where he was, he could have avoided her seduction." How many of you ever watched that TV show, Hee Haw? Anybody? Boy, not too many of you. I watched it once in a while. It wasn't one of my favorite shows, but I remember one episode where a patient comes to see Doc Campbell. And he says, "Doc, I broke my arm in two places." And Doc replies, "Well then, stay out of them places." If you want to avoid temptation, you stay away from places that you know are going to be tempting. Someone has written what is entitled Autobiography in 5 short chapters. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open wide. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down a different street. That's the ultimate thing to do. Take a different route. Walk down a different street. If you don't want to fall into a tempting situation, don't put yourself into a tempting situation. The second thing that we can learn as we look out the window of Solomon is to realize the product of yielding to temptation. The product or the results of yielding to temptation. There were consequences to this young man's yielding to temptation. Look at verses 22 and 23. "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But listen to these consequences. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?
Death.
The ultimate consequence of sin. Sin brings forth death. Solomon describes the consequences of this young man yielding to temptation. First of all, a destroyed life. A destroyed life. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. He's like an ox being led to the butcher. Yielding to temptation has destroyed many lives. Homes have been destroyed. Churches have been destroyed. Testimonies of Christians have been destroyed and ruined by people who have fallen into sin. Furthermore, we see that yielding to sin led to a disgraced life. He goeth after her straightway as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Like a prisoner being placed in stocks in a public place to be stared and sneered at by the passing crowd is a disgrace. And sin brings disgrace upon one's name and reputation. Yielding to sin and temptation also resulted in a depressed life. A depressed life. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver. We consider the heart to be the seat of emotions. But to the Hebrews, the liver was considered the seat of their emotions. Solomon was describing how depressed this young man was after yielding to temptation. What he thought would make him happy in the end only brought upon him a guilty conscience. Also with this feeling of dirtiness and being defiled. Let me tell you, when you fall into sin, you don't have the pleasure that you thought sin was going to bring. There's disgrace, and there's shame, and there's depression, and then there's a dominated life. Verse 23, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Little did he realize the first time that it would be so difficult to overcome after that. The second time would be easier, the third time easier than that, and before you know it, he's in bondage. Solomon described yielding to sin as like a bird trapped in a snare. One writer gave this advice in light of the consequences of the young man's yielding to temptation. The defense advised here is threefold. First of all, guard your mind. Guard your mind. One is in danger as soon as the mind wanders in the wrong direction. Two, keep away. Avoid all contact, literally as well as and mentally as well. Number three, look past her, farther down the road to the countless slain and have been led to the chambers of death. You know, that's where you really got to look at. You got to look at where this sin is going to take you. Look to the end of the road and what awaits you if you give in to this temptation. The consequences of yielding to temptation are the last thing that we think about when we face temptation, but it really should be the first thing that we think about. I might feel good at the moment, but what about the results down the road? Solomon said in verse 27, her house is the way to what? Hell. Going down to the chambers of death. That's where you need to look to if you want to stay out of temptation, avoid it, falling into its trap. And finally this morning, number three, resist the pull to yield to temptation. Resist the pull to yield to temptation. We must guard our life from that which will seduce us. I came across this equation. Temptation plus opportunity equals trouble. Temptation plus opportunity equals trouble. There may be temptation, but not opportunity. There could also be opportunity, but not temptation. But when those two get together, there is trouble. We have to guard our lives from that which would tempt us. The second principle that we learn from Solomon's words that help us to resist temptation is that we must guide our life by that which will strengthen us. Solomon begins chapter 7 with these words, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman." See, these words were to keep him from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. See, if he had known the words of Solomon, if he had known the words of the Lord and the commandments of God, he would not have been taken by her flattering words. And so Solomon is encouraging us to let the word of God be our guide in life. If it says no, it means no. If it says yes, it always means yes. The Bible is to be the standard by which we conduct our lives. Its laws and instructions are to be the guide of our life. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." How can we keep clean? How can we prevent yielding to temptation? It is by taking heed to what God said in his word. As D.L. Moody used to say, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." I'll tell you, if you're not in your Bibles on a daily basis, you know, when that temptation comes, you're going to fall into sin. And so your best safeguard is to stay in God's word on a daily basis. Read God's word, obey God's word. It's the secret to spiritual strength, a strength that is needed if we are going to escape the powerful pull of temptation. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning? Maybe there's somebody here that you're constantly being tempted and you're constantly falling into that temptation. Would you look out the window that Solomon lets us peek through today? And would you notice yourself as that young man? And would you determine right now that you're going to get off that street and take a different street? You're going to do what's necessary to avoid the temptation, to avoid the seduction, and you're going to let God's word become your guide. I made a vow years ago that I never have regretted, and that was to spend some time in God's word each day. Sometime. If you hadn't made that vow yet, now would be a good time to make it. You know, many of the vows in the Bible were made when men and women were in trouble. In their trouble, they made a vow. And temptation plus opportunity equals trouble. And if you're in trouble, maybe you need to make that vow to God today. God, I just vow to you, I commit to you right now that I will spend some time in your word. Every day. It doesn't have to be a long time, but some time. I try to do it first thing because when I first made the vow, there were times when I'd have to get up in the middle of the night because the Lord reminded me of that vow that I made. So I try to do it first thing in the morning. But whenever you do it, you need to do it. You think, oh, I don't need to do it. I don't have to worry about falling into temptation. It won't happen to me. If any man thinks he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. It could happen to you. It could happen to any one of us here today. Father, you know each of our situations. We thank you for helping us today to look through the window of Solomon. Help us to be discerning today of our situations. Lord, may there not be a young man, a young woman, an older man or older woman here today, void of understanding. But Lord, I pray today that you would give them understanding. Give them knowledge. May they understand that if they continue on the path that they're on, it's going to lead to trouble. It's going to lead to heartache and possibly even physical or spiritual death. Lord, help us to stay in your word. I pray for those that are making vows today, committing to spend some time in your word. Lord, that you would be faithful to remind them of those vows throughout life. Lord, that they would not be, that they could be kept from temptation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.